It's Plant Talk with Dave Decock, brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jeans the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. We welcome again Dave Decock to the show. Hi, Dave. Welcome back.
Well, it's great to be here.
Okay, let's start things off with this email that we got. We got a photo. I'm not sure. JJ, do you have the photo up? Maybe you could describe it for us.
I do. So yeah, it looks like a small tree, right, Dave? A small tree. Yeah. It seems skinny, and the branches are really close.
Right. It looks fairly upright growing. And the leaves, it almost looks like heart-shaped leaves. So I would guess, my guess would be without seeing anything more or knowing any better, that it's probably at one of the pyramidal lindens, would be my guess. Those lindens are notorious for having kind of a heart-shaped leaf. The pyramidal ones, like Redmond or some of the little-leaf lindens, are pretty pyramidal, pretty upright growing. So that would be my guess going based on that picture.
And what was the question about the tree?
Just asking for an identification.
Oh, an identification.
Yeah, they were just wondering what I thought it might be.
Okay, sounds good.
And that's my thought.
There you go. That was easy. Let's get right to the phone lines. Dave, Lee is first up.
Hi, Lee.
Good morning, or afternoon, rather.
Yes.
Thanks, Dave, for taking my call. I have a friend who is clearing out a lot in town. And on the side of the lot, there's this beautiful yellow rose bush, and that's got to be over 3 feet tall and probably that much in a diameter at least. He said that you can take either the whole or part of it, whatever you wanted. Now, my experience with a rose bush is the fact that it's pretty hard to take a part of it, right?
Well, it would depend. It would depend what kind of rose it is. Some of these shrub roses, they're pretty notorious for suckering, so you might be able to... You know, you might be able to take one of the suckers off or part of it and move it. So that's possible that would, especially if the plant itself is pretty large. It probably is an indication that some kind of a rose that would sucker quite a bit, that you'd get something that diameter.
Okay.
And if that's the case, you could try taking part of it. If you do take part of it off to transplant, make sure you cut the plant. Cut the top part back to maybe 6 inches and then transplant it, and hopefully you will have enough root so that you'll be okay.
So just cut the whole top off, just take the stem of the root, and that's about it, all you want then, correct?
That's about it. Yeah, you want about 6 inches of stem, maybe. The other thing you could do, you could cut it off just above the bottom leaf and take it and move it, and that bud that's next to that bottom leaf, that would send out new growth.
Okay, now if you have to take the whole thing as one plant, how deep is that root system going to be?
Oh, I would guess no more than a foot to tops, I wouldn't think. But it's hard to say for sure. But how broad did you say the thing was? How far across?
Well, it's at least 3 feet, if not more.
3 feet?
It's a big...
Yes.
Yeah, it's got to be 30 years old.
Yeah, it would be a tremendous amount to try and take a 3-foot ball of soil.
That's what I figured. I mean, you almost have to use a tree mover.
You almost have to use a tree mover. I think what I would try and do is if it has spread out, to try and take a section and take that.
Okay. I'll take a look at it first, see what it looks like. Well, thank
you,
Dave.
Good.
I appreciate this.
Sure.
You bet.
Okay, bye, Lee.
There's a quick question here. In our text club, we transplanted a 6-foot-tall pine tree in our backyard using a 24-inch tree spade. How often should we water these, and how much water each time?
Well, how big was a 6-foot pine tree?
Yeah.
How big was the tree mover?
24.
24 feet? No, 24 inches.
Right.
Yeah, that would be 2 feet, 2-inch diameter. I would say water it in good when you first transplant it, then probably no more than once a week after that, depending on what the weather's like. If we get a bunch of 90-degree days, of course, you may have to do it more often. Weather like today and tomorrow and the next few days coming up, sounds going to be a lot cooler, a lot more humidity. Probably wouldn't have to water it all, but There's a lot more transplants killed by overwatering than underwatering.
Good point.
So keep that in mind.
Let's get back to the phone lines. Doris is next.
Hi, Doris.
Hi. I want to transplant a grape plant. I think it's...
Sure.
It, was there a wild, part wild and part tame one that's been around a long time?
Well, there is some. There's things like Beta and Valiant and
beta,
some of those.
Beta, I think it is.
What is it?
Beta.
Yeah, I think I've got one like that, too. It's sort of a step up from a wild grape.
Right.
It's still going to be pretty tart, but it makes great jam. So
right. Okay.
I would say if you're going to transplant it, take as much of the soil as you can with it. Cut the vine back quite a bit so you don't have too much there. Maybe a few buds or so, but cut the rest off so that it gets a chance to get established and send out new growth.
Okay.
If you leave too much vine on, it's going to be too much for the root to handle. So you have to cut the top back pretty severely.
Okay.
And I would do it as soon as you can if you're going to do it.
Now it would be okay to try.
Well, you know, a month ago would have been a lot better, but I don't know how much time you've got to get this done.
Yeah, okay.
It's certainly not going to get any better.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Doris. We'll continue to take your calls on Plant Talk. You can call in now, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. We'll be right back on Plant Talk with Dave DeCock.
Plant Talk with Dave DeCock is on the air. On the line for you right now, Dave, is Mark.
Mark.
Hi. I got a question about tomato blight. You know, you say
sure.
that when you water your tomatoes inconsistently, they get the bottom rot. Is that
yeah.
true?
Yeah, that's blossom end rot. Yeah, that's what happens is if it's really common in tomatoes growing in planters when people are gone and they water fairly frequently and they're gone a week or something, they come back, they'll notice they've got a lot of blossom end rot on the fruit because of that. But yeah, fluctuation of soil moisture is a big thing.
So is that only when the fruit is on the plant or is it now when they're early yet?
No. That affects the fruit. It's just a physiological thing. It's not a disease.
Okay, but can you create that by before? Does the fruit have to be on the plant?
No.
Before?
Right. Yeah. It has to have fruit on the plant. Right now, if you let your plant go dry, it'll probably wilt or something. But it certainly isn't going to get tomato blossom and rot later on because of what you do now.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Bye bye.
Okay, thanks, Mark. We have room for you on the phone lines, 237-5948. We had a local company install two flowering crab and Honeycrisp last week. All have mulch. Just wondering how much I should water and should I use fertilizer?
Well, first off, I wouldn't worry about the fertilizer. The big thing now is to get them established. And as I mentioned before, there's a lot more things killed by overwatering than underwatering, especially transplanted things. So be careful about that. The other thing you want to watch out for, too, is you've got mulch around them, so it's going to tend to keep them on the wet side. So if you're going to leave the mulch, you might want to pull the mulch back enough from the plant so that you can see the soil around the plant itself. The mulch can be further out, but you want to be able to see the trunk where it gets into the ground. If you do that, you'll be able to tell when it's starting to get dry. When the mulch is there, unless you check under the mulch, you're not going to be able to tell. So pull the mulch back so you can watch. I would guess once a week, maybe. It's going to depend a lot on the weather. Weather like today doesn't use much moisture. Weather like the 2 days we've had in the past use a lot of moisture. So it's going to depend on what we get for rain, what the temperatures and wind are like as to how often you're going to water. But keep in mind, there's a lot more killed by too much water than not enough.
Dave, when I was a kid, I remember once a year getting in a lot of trouble for touching the sticky ring around a tree that someone had put to keep, I imagine, pests from moving further up on a tree. Do we still do that?
Well, we haven't done it in a long time. If you go look driving in the older parts of Fargo, you'll see there's a lot of black rings on the trees. That was to keep the cankerworms, females, from climbing up the tree and laying their eggs in the tree. The females of a cankerworm could not fly, so the only way they could get up to lay the eggs would be to climb up the trunk, and if you had the tanglefoot on the trunk, the sticky stuff, that would keep them from getting up the tree. But we haven't had any outbreaks of cankerworms for quite a while, and I would imagine that's why people aren't doing that anymore.
All right, so piggybacking on that, on our weeping birch, I saw ants crawling up, and I mean about a
right.
2 feet high. Yeah. Do I need to be concerned about ants making their way up on a tree?
Well, usually the ants go up the tree because there's aphids in the tree. Oh, ants are very good at harvesting the sappy material that the aphids secrete. When aphids get up on a tree, they secrete a sappy material called honeydew. And if you've ever parked your car on a street and there's been a lot of aphids in the tree, you'll notice that your car is just terrible sticky. And that's because the aphids are secreting the honeydew. It drips down and gets on your car, the street, whatever, your sidewalk. And sometimes it'll even turn black because there's a sooty mold that will grow on that sap. But the ants are smart enough to realize they can go up on the tree and they can get the honeydew from the aphids, and that's what they're doing.
Okay, let's get back to the phone lines. Carrie is next, Dave.
Hi, Carrie.
Hey, I have a two-part question. You know, I'm trying to get rid of a thistle. I sprayed it 3 times, but I'm using the grass and weed killer. Is that good? And do I need to spray more than just the leaves? Do I have to spray the whole stock?
Oh, no, no. The leaves will do it, but it's going to take more than one spray. I know that I have some, and I sprayed them, and they look like they're dead, and they die down, but you'll see little ones are coming up around it. So basically what needs to be done is you're going to have to spray more than once. Roundup will tend to work good on them. Ortho's got a poison ivy control. That would work good on them. But you will have to spray more than once. It's sort of like trying to get rid of clover or creeping charlie in your lawn. You're going to have to repeat spray because once won't do it.
Is there a stronger version than the weed and grass killer? Is there straight Roundup at all? I'm using Roundup, but that,
well,
you know,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's in the weed and grass killer. I guess without knowing what the chemicals are, I don't know for sure. But I would guess something like the Ortho Poison Ivy control. If you use that at the label direction, that'll more than likely take the thistles. But if there's grass around it, it would take the grass too. But the poison ivy control is pretty tough stuff.
Great. Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. Bye-bye.
There's a question here in our text club at 35270, powered by 702 Communications. When is the best time to harvest seeds from a fern leaf peony for propagation, now and let dry or in the fall, Dave?
Oh, boy. I would let them mature more before I try to harvest them. If you don't take the old flowers off, you'll see the seed pods and heads will start to dry. And once they're good and dry, you can certainly take them off. I'm not sure if the seeds have to be treated a particular way to get them to grow. You might want to do a search on the internet and check on peony seeds and find out what you have to do to get them to grow.
Sounds good.
But generally with peonies, you don't mess with the seed. It's much, much quicker just to divide the plant.
Okay. Divide, maybe.
It's going to take forever to get a peony from seed.
Sure. Divide the plant. And would they divide a peony in the fall, Dave?
Yeah, about okay. Labor Day.
Okay, there you go. This is Plant Talk with Dave Decock. We'll take more of your questions when we come back after KFGO News. It's Plant Talk on KFGO with Dave Decock, brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jeans the Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Dave is on the line, and Dave, our next caller is Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
Go ahead.
During the storm last weekend, you know, those high winds, I got some big evergreens in my yard. It blew the one of them completely over. The other one is tilted. The ground is kind of raised around the base a little bit, but I imagine where the roots are. And I was just wondering if there's a way to save that evergreen, what a guy should do.
How big an evergreen is it?
I would guess it's probably 35 feet, maybe 40.
Okay. The only thing you can do with that, if you want to save it, is that you can pull it back so it's straight, but you're going to have to keep it tied up all the time, because when the roots pull loose like that, some of them actually break, and some of them just pull loose and stretch out. Now, the tree is never going to be strong enough to stand by itself. So you pull it back, give it with, tie it in place, and you want to leave it tied in place. The tree will live and will grow, but it's never going to develop a strong enough root system on that side to hold the tree if we get another strong wind.
Okay. So there's really no way to save it.
So
if the ground
my guess is that you're probably going to get rid of it, because tying something up and having it tied up all the time is just, you know, just not something I'd be excited about.
No, I'd be in the middle of the yard, so a person wouldn't want to do that.
What's that?
I say it would be in the middle of the yard, so a person wouldn't want to do that.
Right, yeah. Right. It just would not be attractive. It just, you know, I would guess it's probably going to have to go just like the other one.
All right, cutting the top off of it, cutting 6, 8, 10 feet off the top, and pulling it.
If you cut the top off, it's going to look terrible. If it's an evergreen, you cut the top off, it looks terrible. So,
right.
And you'd have to shorten it in quite a bit for it to develop enough root system on that side to hold the tree up. If it was much younger, much shorter, you could probably get away with that. But right now, at 30 feet, there's a tremendous amount of weight when the wind blows on it to, you know, to topple it.
Okay, real good.
I would start over if it was me, but that's just me.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay.
Sure, bye-bye.
Thanks, Alan. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I have what I think are flea beetles using my arugula as a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried diatomaceous earth. I've tried neem oil with sal suds mixed together, and none of it seems to phase them.
Right. Flea beetles are a little hard to control. You can use insecticides on them, but if you use a malathion or something like that, you have to be concerned about how soon you can use the produce after you use the chemical. So that would probably help. The other thing about flea beetles is when you walk through the garden, they tend to move off of the leaves of the plant.
Oh, I know. They jump off.
Right. So what you want to do is, if you're going to put spray down or spray in between the rows and around the plants too, not just on the plant.
Okay. Well,
because usually by the time you get there to spray them, they're off the plant.
Yeah, I know. They just hop around. It's like little specks of little big specks of pepper. I never had them before, so I'm just was totally amazed that all of a sudden this year. But I've never planted arugula. That's the one thing they like, evidently they like the peppery, spicy arugula.
And they're not that easy to kill. You know, a lot of the organic things won't do them, so you may have to go to a chemical.
Well, or I'll just pull up the arugula and see.
Right, that's a sure way to get rid of the problem.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I'm not crazy.
Sure, anytime. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's get to Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hello. I have a silver poplar that we transplanted a few years ago, and it was about 6 feet tall. And between October's ice storm and the deer rubbing their racks on it, they broke it off. And it is coming back from the root, or from about 3-4 feet up, just really bushy and nice and great. Will it develop a leader where it'll
What I do when that happens is if you've got how much old stock is there yet?
The main trunk, you know, is there, and then it's kind of like getting shoots out from the bottom also.
Right. Now, the main trunk, does it have growth on it too?
Yeah, the whole thing does, but not. It looks more like a bush than a tree.
Right. There's a couple of things you can do. You can let it leaf out higher up, and the topmost shoot that comes out will probably go straight up and be a new leader for you.
Okay. Would it hurt to trim those other branches off?
No. They could be taken off, but don't be in a real rush to take them off, because the more green there's there, of course, the more food's going into the plant, and the quicker it's going to grow.
So leave it alone for a year or two and then start trimming?
Oh, I would start taking them off. You know, maybe leave one or two there, and then take them off next year once you start to get growth up above.
Okay, just kind of let it progress and straighten back out again then.
Right. The new growth that comes up, the topmost bud that comes up along the old trunk, that should, if it isn't going straight up, you can take and use something to kind of tie it in place so the topmost branch would go straight up.
And we have done that with the maple tree before, and that has worked for us, so yes.
Right. You can do the same thing with this.
You can always pull one up and try to make a leader if it's kind of poking out to the side, right?
Okay, yeah, that's basically what you're doing. Once it gets going straight up, then you can, of course, take whatever you're binding it with off, because it will stay straight up, because it's normal for them once they start going straight up like that to continue.
You can do that with evergreens, too, if a leader breaks off, right?
Oh, sure. Same thing. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly the same thing you're going to do with this one.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure, anytime. Bye-bye.
Dave is on the line for you.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. I just have a question. What's the best time of year to prune back lilacs?
If you want them to flower again next year, you would do it now.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was making sure.
Yeah.
They're getting pretty wild, so I'm gonna get at them seriously.
Well, if you're going to cut back severely, you wouldn't get flowers next year anyhow. So if you're going to cut back real severely, you might want to do it in the fall or the early spring.
Okay.
The normal white pruning.
It'd be better when there's no leaves on it.
Right.
You can see
it'd be better to get them in the spring. They will. You could chainsaw her to the ground and she'd come back.
Yeah.
So, but if normal white trimming, if you want flowers again next year, then of course you do that now.
No, they're getting, I got about eight of them in a row and they're getting too wild.
Okay. Yeah. Then I'd cut them back, like I say, after the leaves fall, or get them right away in the spring before they leaf out. Then you'll get all kinds of growth from down below. If you want them to come back quicker, you leave them a foot or so tall and they'll come back quicker.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I can skip the flowers one year.
Oh, yeah, okay. Then I would say do it then rather than now.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Dave. Yeah, bye-bye.
Looking in our text club here, 35270, sponsored by 702 Communications. On a very big Lakes area cottonwood trees with the roots exposed, can we cover up or grind down some of the exposed roots? Some are up to 4 inches above ground and as much as 5 feet in length.
Okay. The golden rule that I was always taught on that, when trees get roots above ground, is that you can physically go in and take one off each year. Okay. So I would take the one that's the worst and cut it off where it starts to come off the ground. Then on the other end where it starts to go back in the ground, cut that, get that piece out of there, put a little soil in where you take it out, and then next year I would take another one. And gradually get rid of the bad ones by doing that. But take the worst one first.
Sounds good. I just got my front yard located for a landscaping project. Can I still plant a lilac bush or some perennials? So basically, can I still plant now?
Now, I guess you can. The problem with is, you know, the hotter and drier it gets, the harder it is to put things in, but you could certainly still do that. You just have to be, you know, a little wary about what the weather's going to be like, but you know, a month ago would have been better, but what the heck.
Someone else wants to know, my friend says vinegar with water will kill clover in the lawn. I told her she would just get a smelly lawn. Am I right?
I don't know. I've never heard that one, so I guess I wouldn't swear. Anything is possible, but I guess I've never tried that. I've never seen anybody say that it would work, so I can't tell her to go ahead and do it, that it would work. I guess I could do a search on the internet, see what that says, but sometimes that's garbage too. So
what,
I guess I've never heard of that.
What,
I know that clover is hard to get rid of.
Right. I was going to say, what would you recommend for clover?
Well, if you're willing to use a chemical orthos cutting, we'd be gone for hard to control weeds like clover and chickweed and creeping Charlie. That would work. But again, like the man that called about the thistles, you're going to have to do it more than once.
Right. Okay, sounds good. There's your answer. Or try vinegar and let us know how it goes, because Dave's not sure how
right.
it goes. This is
no.
Plant Talk on KFGO. We'll continue your calls when we come back.
Plant Talk with Dave DeCock is on the air, brought to you by Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jean's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm. Next on the line for you, Dave, we have got Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Hello. I've got a tomato plant that has tomatoes on it and everything, but now the leaves are turning yellow. What could be wrong?
Oh, boy, it's pretty early to have blight. The tomato blight will do that, too, but I think we're probably still too early for that. Now, what do the upper leaves look like? Do they still look good?
Yeah, they look okay. It's just the lower ones. And
well, you could, what you could do is you could try some fertilizer.
Okay, what kind of fertilizer?
You can get tomato food, vegetable garden food, that kind of thing. And typically what will happen with plants when they get short of nitrogen, they will take nitrogen from the old leaves and move it to the new growth. And when they do, the old leaves turn yellow and fall off.
Okay.
So that would be a guess. I mean, if it was later in the year and we had a lot of humidity and a lot of moisture in the air, tomato blight will start that way, too. It'll start by the bottom leaves going, and they'll get spots on the leaves. The leaves will fall off, and it gradually moves up the plant. But my guess would be this early in the year, it's probably that they could use a little bit of garden fertilizer. So that my guess is what's happening is that they're short of nitrogen, and they're just taking it out of the old leaves.
Should I trim off the leaves that are
yellow? No. Just leave the leaves there. If they're going to fall, they'll fall off on their own.
Okay.
But, yeah,
Thank you so much.
Don't do that, because there's probably some nitrogen in them yet that can be taken out, or they may green up again, too, if you fertilize them.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure. Anytime. Bye-bye.
Let's get to Scott.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Dave. Hey, I have a blue spruce tree that I planted 13 years ago.
Right.
And every year since, it dies off in the winter. It loses all its needles, and in spring it comes back. And this tree is only about 32 inches high. And I have other ones around it that are doing just fine.
That is weird.
Yep. Every year it gets new growth with no needles on the stems, but at the end of them stems, I get new growth every year.
You get new growth, God. And you've got others around it that are fine.
Yep. I got ones that are 7 years old that are over 12 feet tall.
I guess I have no idea, to be honest with you, why it would do that. If you just had one that did that, you know, it might be that they ran short of moisture in spring, the needles turned brown and they all fell off, and then you got new growth. That would be something, but when you've got a lot of them around that one, I guess I can't imagine that would be the problem.
Yep, and I tried covering it through the winter, and it doesn't help.
Yeah, and I suppose you've watered them in good before winter just to be sure, and it still does it, so... That's a new one on me. I guess I've never heard of that one. You might you might go on the internet, do a search, and see if you can put something like evergreens dropping their needles during winter. But my guess is they're going to come out and talk about running out of moisture and that kind of thing.
Okay.
So you got me on that one. If you ever find out what's wrong, let me know. But I've never heard of that one before.
All right. Well, thank you.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Okay, let's get back. I want to ask this question in our text club because I've wondered it as well because I've killed a few of these. But this person wants to know, how long does a person soak an air plant each week?
Oh, man, I guess I have no idea.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, we're talking indoor plants now. We're not talking outdoor, I guess.
Right.
No, we're asking hard questions.
Air plant, I'm not even sure what an air plant is. I would guess
it's like one of those plants that don't need water. They almost look like, right, I think they must be a succulent.
Yeah. I think I know what you mean. You'll sometimes see them growing on other, just attached to something and growing.
Right.
I guess I don't know how long you soak them. I would guess it's a hit and miss thing. I would guess it's going again to make any difference. I'm sure you'd have to soak them a lot more in the winter than you did the summer because the humidity in the homes tends to be much lower in the winter. So I would guess you'd have to soak them more then than you would this time of the year.
Sure.
But I guess I don't have a for sure answer on that.
Any words of wisdom on transplanting a poppy plant?
Well, I would say that right now probably would not be a good time. I would say that right away in the spring when they first come up would be the best time to do that. Right now they should have just flowered, so I don't know that this would be a great time. I would say if you can do it next spring when they first green up, that's when I would do it.
Well, Dave, this was fun as always. We'll hear from you next Thursday from 1 to 2 o'clock.
Sounds great. We'll give it a shot again next week.
Sounds
good.
Talk
to you guys then.
Thanks. Yep. Dave Decock, retired horticulturalist on the Mighty 790 KFGO each Thursday during the growing season from 1 to 2 o'clock. And thanks to our sponsors, Dave's West Fargo Tire and Service, Thompson Greenery, Jean's The Right Plant Place, Turf Tamers, Cheyenne Gardens, and Valley Turf Sod Farm.